Apple Computer is now in the music business. It launched the iTunes Music Store 2 months ago. The service allows users to buy songs legally over the internet for 99 cents each. In the second of two reports on the future of music retailing, NPR's Rick Carr says that Apple's online store has been a hit and that it may represent the future of music on the internet.
Record producer, software developer, and music journalist Stephen St. Croix is one of those Apple Macintosh users who might be better described as a fanatic. Sitting in a recliner in his suburban Maryland home, top-of-the-line Apple laptop close at hand, St. Croix sorts through 7,000 songs, all of them legally acquired, he points out, and struggles to keep himself from clicking the Buy button to add a few more.
I'm trying to go one day without buying.
But buying music from the Apple online store is so easy and so addictive, St. Croix says, that he's been binging. For instance, his collection now includes 11 versions of the guitar standard Sleepwalk. St. Croix and other Macintosh users bought more than 3 million songs at 99 cents a pop during Apple's first month as a music retailer. That's a tiny proportion of what users get for free every day from the peer-to-peer music services, those descendants of Napster and scourges of the record industry. But some analysts estimate that Apple generated more revenue in its first month than its top four legal competitors combined. And that, St. Croix says, is the light at the end of the very dark, very deep tunnel the music industry's been heading down since Napster went online in 1999 and record sales started what the labels say is a sharp decline.
Steve Jobs and little tiny Apple completely saved the music industry. I think that the industry would have collapsed and collapsed catastrophically, impressively, if this had not been done. They had proven already they were incapable of doing this themselves, incapable of seeing it, of relaxing enough to go with the flow. They were fighting what was going on. They weren't embracing the internet at all.
St. Croix says Apple's succeeding in part because the service is simple.
You turn on the computer, and if your hands are anywhere within a foot of the keyboard, it takes your money.
In other words, St. Croix says it takes one click of the mouse to make a purchase. He also feels that Apple struck the right balance between protecting the rights of the record industry and giving consumers what they want. Customers can load the music they buy onto portable players, listen to it on up to three home computers, even burn CDs of the songs they've purchased. But they'll find it difficult to share the songs on the peer-to-peer networks. Apple says its target audience is the people who use those services. Peter Lowe is in charge of marketing for the iTunes Music Store.
They're not doing so because, you know, in their heart of hearts, they're evil people. They're doing so because to date, until the iTunes Music Store came along, there was no legal alternative for these people. They couldn't get what they wanted online. And we've really tried to compete head on with Kazaa and the rest of these services by providing all of the great things that they offer consumers and even addressing their shortcomings as well.
In other words, Lowe says the tracks sound better, they're free of viruses, and they are what they say they are. You won't inadvertently download an amateur porn video when you're hoping for a Britney Spears tune. It's not entirely true that music fans had no legal alternatives until Apple got into the game. The major labels themselves launched two subscription-based services in 2001. Users pay a monthly fee for access to music, and when they stop paying, they lose access. Leading internet audio firm Real Networks has just acquired a similar service called Rhapsody. Real CEO Rob Glaser says he remains committed to the subscription model, but he says Apple's success has altered the digital music business.
It's been a helpful thing to kind of change the debate from whether consumers will want this to, hey, there really is a cohort of people that if you make it real simple and you put it all together, you can get consumers excited about buying these tracks.
But what's really changed, Glaser says, is the attitude at the major record labels. 4 years ago, just before Napster exploded in popularity, venture capitalists who proposed services like Rhapsody or Apple's iTunes found the majors less than receptive. Glaser says it took years to convince the labels that the solution was to take on the peer-to-peer services, or P2Ps, in the marketplace rather than in court.
There were some who believed in the music industry that once they shut down Napster, all this nasty illegal stuff was going to go away. Whereas in reality, about 4 months after the shutdown of Napster, the aggregate amount of illegal file sharing that was happening with the Kazaas and the Morphys and the others exceeded the peak of Napster.
The major labels have had to change their thinking, according to John Rose, an executive vice president at EMI Music.
4 years ago, the digital world for music was a series of questions and a luxury to think about over a long period of time. In a world of 5 billion tracks traded on a monthly basis in the P2P services, it's pretty clear that the digital world is here. The only question is, will the legitimate music world be part of it or not?
Rose says the industry is conducting a controlled experiment with Apple's service. It's only available right now to Macintosh users in the U.S. with the latest operating system. That amounts to about 2% of U.S. computer users. Rose says it's mostly been a success. For now, Apple's offering selections from the majors, but it's working with independent labels to increase its catalog and hopes to make its store available to all computer users by this fall. But by then, it's likely to have plenty of competition. Half a dozen or so firms, including Microsoft and AOL, are reportedly planning services of their own. Music producer and entrepreneur Stephen St. Croix says that means prices will fall.
It's going to be a buyer's market, and everyone will benefit. For the first time in a long time, buyers will start buying. 10 companies come out and do this, Amazon and everyone else, the labels win.
St. Croix predicts that the price of online downloads will fall to 49 cents a song. And at that price, he says, he expects the music industry to make up for all of the lost sales of the past few years, and then some. Rick Carr, NPR News, New York.